Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
The Goblins of the Oil Market.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. It's scary to consider how much we'll soon be paying for things produced from crude oil, gasoline and diesel, home heating oil, even plastic. This morning, crude jumped above $92 the barrel in London. We have more from Stephen Beard.
America's new sanctions against Iran have helped push up the price of crude. The fear is that shipments from the world's third largest oil exporter could in time be cut. But analysts say there's another more immediate factor at work. Oil stockpiles are diminishing. U.S. inventories fell sharply last week. Leo Drolis of the Center for Energy Studies says there's now serious concern about supply.
When you add geopolitical tensions to that mix, you have $90 oil plus, and we could have more. If we have a cold spell, that will just add to the pressure.
But OPEC, which supplies 40% of the world's oil, insists the price surge is caused by speculation. The cartel says it won't pump any more crude beyond the small increase it's planning next month. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The jump in oil has put pressure on European stock markets this morning. And the dollar dropped to a new low against the euro. That'll hurt European exporters. Overnight in Tokyo, the Nikkei gained more than 1% after strong earnings from Sony. Yesterday, the Dow slipped 3 points to 13,671. The S&P was down more than a point. The Nasdaq fell 23. Last night's earnings from Microsoft were stellar. Profit jumped 23%. Strong sales of the Vista operating system. The Xbox 360 video game console and the Halo 3 video game also sold well. Shares in Microsoft jumped 10% in after-hours trading to the highest level in 5 years. This company is now worth $330 billion. On Wall Street, the title of managing director is coveted by every young upstart. It's like making executive vice president in the corporate world. There's word Goldman Sachs has just promoted a record number to managing director. At a time when most investment banks are struggling, Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Goldman Sachs made more than $2.8 billion last quarter, while troubles in the credit markets battered its rivals. So it seemed like almost a slap in the face when Goldman announced it's promoted a record 299 people to managing director. That means a total of about 1 in 17 staffers now has the title.
They're able to promote a lot of people, because this was a year that they are the most successful bank on Wall Street.
Laura Lofaro recruits talent for investment banks. She says at Goldman Sachs, managing director is different than at other banks. These managers can work in the back office or in human resources. The title doesn't guarantee the really big bucks.
The title that's the true brass ring is the partner at Goldman Sachs.
Just 1 in 100 belong to that club. The base salary is $600,000, not including bonuses. In the first 9 months of the year, Goldman set aside $17 billion for salaries, benefits, and bonuses. That's more than the whole of last year. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Goldman rival Merrill Lynch had a difficult week. Wednesday, Merrill reported a quarterly loss of $2.3 billion, the victim of bad investments related to subprime mortgages. Merrill's health has been so weakened by this mess, CEO Stan O'Neill reportedly considered a merger with Wachovia. But the New York Times reports O'Neill didn't have the approval of his board. Now they're fuming, and O'Neill's job could be in jeopardy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management, also sponsoring PBS's CEO Exchange, shrm.org.
And it's time now for Conversations from the Corner Office. Today we're talking with Reynold Levy. He is president of the Lincoln Center for Performing Arts in New York. Now, you might think nonprofit companies are worlds apart from their for-profit cousins, but the similarities are striking. Marketplace's Kai Rizdal spoke with Mr. Levy about the business of running Lincoln Center.
Do you have to be fundamentally a salesman at heart to have this job?
I think that's true now of the CEO of almost any nonprofit institution. The answer is absolutely yes.
Why? Because it won't work unless you can sell it?
Well, you're in a competitive environment, so I need to sell Lincoln Center to recruit the very best and brightest employees. I need to sell Lincoln Center to attract board members with access to resources and with networks of influence. And I need to sell Lincoln Center to corporations and foundations and individuals who are our lifeblood.
One of the things you hear when you talk about nonprofits is that, oh, it's not really a business, and if only they would be more businesslike, they wouldn't need as much donation, they'd be more efficient with their time. What's your take on how you run this place? Is this a business for you? Is it an enterprise?
It is an enterprise. I taught the management and leadership of large nonprofit institutions at Harvard Business School, and colleagues all the time from the for-profit world are enormously curious about the business dynamics of a large institution like our own.
What are those dynamics? I mean,
well, we have our own versions of every aspect of a for-profit business. We have a product. We price that product. We need to focus on the philanthropic market. We need to pay attention to our inventory. We need to pay attention to our capital infrastructure.
It sort of takes a little bit of the romance out when you think about it that way, doesn't it?
Well, we never forget what our mission is, and so the drive is what gets on that stage. Lincoln Center represents a standard of excellence that reaches across the world, and maintaining that standard, I think, is something that all of the constituents of Lincoln Center have a real commitment to.
Reynold Levy is the president of Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts. Mr. Levy, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
For more Conversations from the Corner Office, visit our website, that's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.